Jeremiah chapter 12. You know, as soon as the election is over, you'll see COVID is gone and everybody will get back and what they'll do. I'd advise you to turn your TV off and live, okay? Don't lock down. Live. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 12. I want to talk to you. Now, the book of Jeremiah, a lot of prophecy is in the book of Jeremiah, but there's also a lot of Israeli history in the book of Jeremiah. And historically, at this time, Israel is not doing real good. And Jeremiah the prophet is complaining to God, as we do. And I know you probably haven't ever complained to God, but I do. And I know you've never been disappointed, but I have. And he was disappointed, and he was kind of complaining to the Lord about it. There's two words in here I want to introduce you to before we go, before we get started. One is footman. A footman is an infantry soldier. A footman. That's an infantry soldier. They go on their feet. Footman. The other one is the horseman. The horseman is the cavalry. He's the guy that rides the horses. And he moves a whole lot faster than the footman does. And he probably won't even need a weapon. He can just run over you with his horse. I like to see when they go to those riots with those policemen on horses. The policemen don't have to do anything but just ride. The horse pushes them out of the way. Amen. What are you going to do to a horse? You cuss him. He don't care. Amen. But Jeremiah chapter 12, I want to preach to you. If the footman tire you, what will the horseman do? Now, I understand on Sunday night I'm preaching to the choir, okay? And basically tonight, that's true. I'm preaching to the choir. Almost all of you were in the choir tonight. But we all need this. Everybody needs this, Brother Ron. We have preachers need it. Church members need it. So let's take Jeremiah chapter 12 and let's compare it to today's situation, okay? And I'm going to read the whole chapter, so you're going to have to read with me so you don't lose place, okay? Jeremiah chapter 12, righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that they deal very treacherously? And he's saying, why, God? And then in verse 2, thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. They grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. But thou, Lord, knowest me. Thou hast seen me and tried mine heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter and prepare them for the day of slaughter. Jeremiah said, they're multiplying and you've turned them loose on us. How long shall the land mourn? And the herbs of every field for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. The beasts are consumed and the birds because they said, he shall not see our last end. They're consuming everything, Lord. Verse 5. If thou hast run, now this is the Lord talking. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of the Jordan? That's the question that God's asking Jeremiah. You're living in a great place, and if these people's wearied you here, what are you going to do when the bad times come, the swelling of the Jordan, the floods? Verse 6, for even thy brethren in the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee, after thee, believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. In other words, God said, Jeremiah, everybody's betraying you. Verse 7, I have forsaken mine house, and I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. Now that's God. He said, those I've raised up have forsaken me, he said. Talking about Israel. Verse 10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. These so-called leaders he's talking about, many pastors, so-called leaders have betrayed God. Verse 11, they have made it desolate. And being desolate, it mourneth unto me. Did you know creation mourns unto God? The whole land is made desolate because no man layeth it to heart. It's been destroyed and nobody cares. The spoilers are come upon all high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They take everything and the Lord's going to pay them for it. Verse 13, they've sown wheat but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain but shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of their land and pluck out the houses of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them. And what he says, I'm going to chasten Israel. But after I do that, I'm coming back and I'm going to comfort Israel. And he says, and have compassion on them, will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass if they will diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. He says, if they'll turn from Baal, turn to me, love me, swear by me instead of the old Satan, Baal, he said, then I'll build them up. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy that nation, saith the Lord. Amen. What a powerful passage of scripture. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah says in verse 1, I need to talk to the Lord. He was depressed. He was brokenhearted. He looked around. He saw all these wicked people doing wicked things. And he asked God, why do you let the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them. Yea, they have taken root. They grow. Yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth and far from their reins. You know what he's saying? Lord, you allowed this to happen. Lord, you put them there. Why? Why did you do that, Lord? And then the Lord proceeds to tell him, this is happening for the chastening of my heritage, for the chastening of the correcting divine discipline on my people. And then after it's over, if they'll come back, I'll receive them. And of course, we know they did and he did. But if you take out the historical context and let's put it into today's context, he asked him there, I think it was in verse 5. God's talking to Jeremiah. Here's the question. If thou hast run with the footmen and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with the horses? In other words, if this bothers you that much, and these are really little things to God, what are you going to do when the big things come?
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
And boy, in the Christian life, I was saved in 1978, and I've seen people come, and I've seen people go. I've seen people make professions, and then one day they disappear, and they don't live for God anymore. They don't even go to church. And I go to see people like that, and I say, well, what's going on? What's happened? And they'll say, I'm just tired. I'm just tired of the whole thing. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of fussing. I'm tired of contending for the faith and things like that. And I just can't live this way. I'll just stay at home and I'll read my Bible and I'll pray and I'll do the best I can. And I want to look at them and I think, well, the things you're telling me about are little things.
Yeah.
Well, I don't like it because so-and-so is the choir director. Well, I don't like it because so-and-so's a deacon. Well, I don't like it because so-and-so sings. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't like it. Little piddling things, little things that really shouldn't make that much difference. And if those things weary us as Christians, what are we going to do when the hard things come?
Amen. Yeah.
Look here, we're in a Baptist church. Did y'all see that sign out there? It still says Baptist on it. It'll say Baptist till I die anyway. There's a lot of them changing that, but we're not changing that. And if you know Baptist like I know Baptist, you know that we wouldn't have lived on the ark. No, we've been casting people overboard. We've been fussing and fighting and casting people overboard. But God, look, God takes care of us. God guides us. God's will does what we need in our lives, even when we don't want Him to.
Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Yes.
So I want to ask people a question tonight. And there's people watching. We'll end up with maybe 300 or 400 or 500 people watching this on Facebook Live. I want to ask all of us a question. Are you weary in running from the footman? I mean, are you weary in battling those little things that the old devil will try to throw at you and discourage you? And I got thinking of some things. Are you weary of battling or resisting those little footmen, we could call them, on the behalf of your family? Are you tired of interceding for your family? Are you tired of trying to help them get what they need? Are you tired of battling the old world and the flesh and the devil so that they can be saved, so that they can be sanctified, so that they can serve others, that they have something to live and die for too? A lot of times I'll go see people, you know, and especially new people, you know, I'll go see new people when they start coming or visit. And one of the main complaints is pray for my children. Pray for my children. I just don't know what got my children. Well, I don't either, but I can tell you this, it ain't time to give up on them now. Well, it's a fuss. It's always a fuss. Well, I'd rather fuss with them now than watch their funeral. Amen. I mean, look, if the footmen get us to stop, the simple little thing, everyday battles stop us from loving our family, what are we going to do when the hard things come? What about when the cancer comes?
Right.
What about when that car wreck happens? What about when somebody just gets on drugs or shooting dope in their arm? You know, what are we going to do then if we can't put up with a little bit of fussing and fighting? And you got to remember, they're in the flesh just like you are, and the difference between you and them is God lives in you. That's the only reason we're under control. God's in us. We'd be wild as that Gadarene maniac living in the cemetery if it wasn't for the Spirit of God living in us. Are you weary of the footmen, those little things in our country? We can't talk about politics anymore. People get mad, leave the church. And did you know, I said the other day on Facebook, people criticized me for posting political stuff. I said, if it wasn't for the pulpits of America, we never would have won the Revolutionary War. Those preachers inspired people to stand up against wrong and stand for what's right and pick up a gun and fight it. Even some of the preachers themselves left their pulpit, picked up their musket, joined the militia, and died in the revolution.
Amen.
Are we tired of defending that? Are people going to make us ashamed of our heritage in America just because they can make fun of us and hurt our feelings? If all it takes to stop you from being a good American citizen is somebody making fun of who you voted for president or senator or something, then let me tell you something. What's going to happen when the hard times come? When they really criticize you? Are you tired of going against the footmen who are against your family, who's against your church? Did you know the number one enemy of our family, I'm going to read you a list of them. I put the list. You may not agree with it, but this is in my lifetime. Television. The old Baptist preachers used to preach to us all the time. You need to turn that wicked thing off. Yeah. Yeah. And we'd laugh at them and make fun of them. And now we have to have special channels to show us old shows because the new ones are so wicked we don't want to watch them.
Oh, yeah.
That's the truth.
Yeah.
Old cowboy channels, oldie goldies channel, you know, all that stuff. We have to find, me and my wife, y'all might can look it up on the internet, Redeem TV. Is it just Redeem? Redeem, R-E-D-E-E-M TV. And it's all Christian programming. Now some of it's old and some of it's newer. Some of it ain't all Baptist. It's got great history things on there, got documentaries on there and great preachers and things like that. No current preachers, but the history of old preachers, you know. But television is the number one enemy in my opinion because the media owns it. The communist media owns television. Radio's the next one. Yeah. The internet's the next one. Amen. Amen. The TV, the radio, the internet. I'm going to tell you something else too. That handheld phone. And it ain't just that little flip phone no more. It's not hello, how you doing anymore. You can find anything on that iPhone or those facsimiles. You can find anything on the internet on that phone. And did you know kids know how to find it? And did you know pornography and I'm talking about vile and wicked stuff. So I'm talking about nasty, weird, strange stuff on there. And the kids of America are being hypnotized by that all day long. You know, when I think a kid's old enough to get a phone when they're old enough to pay for it. Amen. Well, I want to stay in touch with them. What did you do before we had mobile phones? You told them to be home at a certain time and they came. Amen. Let me tell you something. Well, I want to know where they're at. All right. Well, you can call them and you say, hey, baby, where are you at? And they can say, I'm at church.
Yeah.
And then back in the background, you hear somebody say, you going to shoot pool or you going to talk on the phone all night? You don't know where they're at.
That's right. Come on now.
Unless you got a tracker on there, you know. I bet she got one. Amen. She got one. Yeah, they ain't here tonight. She can say that. Amen. They watching. I bet they're watching. No, they ain't watching anyway. Fashion designers. I had three daughters. I'd hate to have to take a daughter to the store to buy clothes now. Can you imagine that experience? Oh my goodness. Some of the wickedest, vilest, revealing, ungodly clothes they've ever made being made by another. But right now, did you know most of the designers are homosexual men? That's why they like those girls look like little boys. I'm going too far. Let me keep going. Recreation. Do y'all remember a thing called Blue Laws? You remember Blue Laws? Businesses closed on Wednesday afternoon, go to church on Wednesday night. There wasn't nothing open on Sunday morning, Sunday night, but church. Amen. And now all that's gone. All that's gone. But these are just the little things. These are just little things. Even our government, local and national government, is against our faith now.
Yes.
Don't think it ain't.
It is.
Yes, it is. But these are little things. Think about that. There are footmen in America right now who want to destroy the biblical family and the biblical church right now. They want to destroy. Well, you see how they attacked that poor woman trying to get on the Supreme Court. The woman's history is spotless.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Everybody praises her.
Amen.
But those are small compared to what's coming. They're footmen out to destroy your local church right here. They're out to destroy that book right there.
Yes.
Hey, if it was against most of them, this would be against the law. They're already calling it hate speech. Yes. This is hate speech. In case you can't read, it says Holy Bible. And they call it hate speech. They call us fanatics. Bigots. Narrow-minded, homophobic. I can't even spell that. Homophobic. And then in the churches, they get mad ass because we won't wear skinny jeans and ripped pants. Let me tell you something. Today you see this pastor walk out with a pair of high-top tennis shoes and ripped-up skinny jeans. It'll be a cold day where the booger man's going. I'll go ahead and tell you that right now. Amen. Every one of you can wear them. I ain't doing it. Amen. There ought to be a little honor in the house of God. Amen.
Amen.
And but these are just little things. Listen. Listen. These footmen are out to destroy your home. They're out to destroy your church. They're out to destroy your Bible. They're out to destroy your faith if they can do it. And it's a battle every day. It didn't used to be like this in America. I remember a time, I didn't grow up in church, but I remember Sundays where if you didn't go to church, and we didn't, you didn't go nowhere. You stayed hid out. There wasn't nowhere to go anyway. I remember being ashamed that we didn't go to church when I was a kid. We'd go to school, people talk about going to church. I was ashamed. As a kid that we didn't go to church. But now it's the other way around. Our kids are being made ashamed that they do go to church.
Yeah.
Listen, they're out to destroy your church. Attendance is falling, which we can easily tell. And by the way, these are good people. These are good people that don't come regular anymore because these footmen have wearied them. It's a constant bombardment of politics, COVID, sickness, hatred, rioting, marching. It's a constant bombardment of that stuff over that television and everything else. And these people's gotten weary from fighting it. I don't blame them. The church's influence is decreasing. Some of you old folks, do you remember when politicians courted the church?
Yeah.
Do you remember when the churches were important to the politicians because the churches held great sway over the nation? And the churches, because of the footmen continually bombarding us, fighting us, influence, our influence is decreasing. I can go to a city hall meeting. They don't give a hoot who I am. They don't give a hoot what kind of church you got anymore. They're more concerned about LGBTQRSVP, you know, all those other letters. They're more concerned about the homosexual or the BLM or the whoever, Dr. Doolittle, the latest Dr. Doolittle comes along. The distractions get worse and worse. Do you remember when they didn't have sports on Wednesday night? Amen. Amen. Now, a lot of things are changing. It's changing. And every day it's a battle with your family, with the populace out there, with the government, with entertainment, with the TV, and every day, it's just continual. Bomb, 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 bomb. And we're supposed to fight a good fight. We're supposed to keep the faith. We're supposed to endure. We're supposed to persevere. But we all get like Jeremiah sometimes. We just get tired and say, why, Lord? I thought when I got saved, this stuff would get better. Well, you just got in a battle when you got saved. Amen. You know, the devil don't bother his crowd.
That's right.
People say the devil's down there at the, by the way, they opened up a new beer joint right here. Homemade beer. It's a beer joint. I don't care what you call it. You can call it a brewery. You can call it a place to eat. It's a beer joint. Ain't that what we used to call it, us old people? We used to call them beer joints. Amen. And there's one right there, and it's packed. I don't know if you noticed or not. It's packed with people. And we need to pray that thing out there. We can't legally do anything. It's too far away, but we can pray it out there. I pray they'll go out of business. Go flat broke. Amen. But every day, we losing influence. Every day. And poor Jeremiah, he saw him losing his land. Jeremiah saw that the land of Israel was being destroyed by these people. And he saw that the land of Israel was being corrupted by these people. And so Jeremiah, he says, I need to talk to you, Lord. And he began to talk to the Lord. The Lord said, I know what you're talking about. I'm letting it happen. You know, nothing can happen that God doesn't allow.
That's right.
Amen. That's right.
You know why all this weirdo politics and all this stuff's going on? God's letting it go on.
Yes, sir.
He says, I know it because I'm chastening your land. And when they get right with me, I'll fix it. I'm going to vote. You couldn't keep me away from the voting booth with a shotgun. I'll be in the line. I'm going to vote.
Amen.
Amen. I'm not going to be ashamed of it. But listen, I ought to vote. That's my responsibility, not only as a citizen of America, but as a Christian. He tells us in Romans 13, we're supposed to participate in those things. But I know only God can turn this nation around.
Amen. That's right.
And it was turning around. For 2 years it was turning around. And now the old devil's got his foot in it again. And we're getting tired of it.
Yes.
We get tired. We say, well, I'm not watching that speech because I'm just tired of it all. Well, I'm not watching that debate because I'm just tired of it all. Well, I'm not going to go vote because there's going to be people down there that don't like who I vote for and they're going to say something to me. Well, if that's all it takes to destroy your nation, God says you don't even deserve it. I'll just let them have it.
Amen. Yeah.
Turn to 2 Timothy. I'm about through. 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. Second Timothy chapter 3. Look at verse 3. Well, let's just start verse 1. This is where we are. This is where we are in America, much less the whole world. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. Sounds like Antifa, don't it? BLM. Without natural affection. Sounds like LBTQR and all that other stuff. Without natural affection. Truth breakers. False accusers. incontinent. Fierce despisers of those that are good. Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Now, if you will, look at verse 13. In verse 13, same chapter, he says, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Are you ready to quit? You ever just feel like quitting? Well, you never been a pastor. We quit every Monday. Every Monday I quit. And by Monday night I done started back up again. Are you, listen, a lot of people say, well, preacher, I used to serve the Lord, and I was in there, and I fought the fight, and I taught in Sunday school, and I sang in the choir, and I went on visitation, but nobody cares. And preacher, I quit. I've gotten old, and I'm just going to take it easy from here on out to glory. People stop tithing. They say, well, preacher, I've given mine and more than mine. People begin to make excuses about missing services. Maybe they're tired of running the race that is set before you that Jesus gave to you. Now, if we're tired with these, look, nobody's chopping my head off. Nobody's putting me in jail. Nobody's crucifying me. Nobody's killing my children for my faith. Listen, these are just footmen that's bothering us right now. If these things bother us, what are we going to do when the horses come? How will you contend with these people I just read to you about in the last days when these people really break loose and the footmen walk to you? These people's going to drive you. Communism. We thought it was over. It ain't over. The Chinese been planting it in our universities for 2-3 generations now, and it's coming to fruition. Sodomites. Sodomites. I ain't going to tell you what we used to call them growing up. Sodomites. Used to be that thing done in the closet. Then they came out of the closet. Now the Christians are in the closet.
Come on now.
Amen.
Yeah.
How about false teachers? There's a lot of false Bible teachers running around here. How about peer pressure? You go to work and everybody's against you. How about if they say you can't go to church, you'll get fired? How about if a friend says, I used to be your friend, but you've gotten too religious, I'm leaving. Or maybe a wife or a husband. What about when you lose your family? Your children say, Daddy, you've lost your mind. You've gone religion crazy. I'm not going to come here anymore. I get tired of hearing that. What are you going to do? What's our nation going to do? Well, there's only one remedy. There's only one remedy. If my people, which are called by my name, if they'll humble themselves, if they'll confess their sins, God said he'd heal their land.
Amen.
Jeremiah 36, 1 through 3 says this, and it came to pass in the fourth year of Jeroboam, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel and against Judah and against all the nations from the day I spake it unto thee, from the days of Josiah even unto this day. It may be that the house of Judah will hear all the evil which I purpose to do unto them, that they may return every man from his evil way, that I may forgive their iniquity and their sin. A lot of times we preachers will say America has a heart problem. We don't have a heart problem, we've got a hearing problem.
Amen.
We've got the answer. People just don't want to hear it. He said, write all these words down, then take them down there and read them to them. Now God said this, and it may be they hear you, and they turn from their wicked ways. You know, it's easy to fix what's going on in America today and in our churches. It's called repentance.
Amen.
If we'll just turn back to God and put it all on Him. And I say, if my family falls, I'm putting it on you, God. If my government falls, I'm putting it on you, God.
Yes.
If my church falls, I'm putting it on you, God. If I lose my faith, it's on you, God. You know what that's called? Bible Christianity. We need to get back to it. Amen?
Amen.
Now, if the footmen are tired, what are you going to do when the big boys come on their horses? The cancer. The car wreck. The divorce, the things that really hurt. When it goes past those little words and those little actions into big things, what are you going to do? I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to do what I've always done when it came. I'm going to turn to Him. I'm going to look unto Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith, for the joy that was set before Him, see, He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now sat down on the right hand of God, and He's interceding for me, and I'm going to do like Jeremiah. I'm going to say, Lord, we need to talk. And He's going to say, all right, let's talk. Draw nigh to God, and He'll draw nigh to thee. Let's stand. Father, I know this was not as exciting as heaven this morning, the sermon on heaven.